mic down, we'll go ahead and get started. I've never heard such a rowdy group. I guess that's lamenting not being on the other side of the glass this morning. I understand that leopard and hobo zoo why I want to be on the other side of the cage now. That's kind of how I'm feeling. It's like, I don't need to go far, just on the other side of the glass. That's all I need. According to that clock, it's 8:30. Is that clock not correct?
No.
Yeah, that clock's not correct. Yeah. I like to start early and end early.
Today?
Okay. Every day.
Oh.
Especially today. Especially today. We do have a busy day, so if there's no opposition, we'll go ahead with the staff breathing. Breathing.
Breathing.
Breathing. Sometimes you got to check. So Candace Powers is our fund manager. We'll give some time to her.
Good morning.
Good
morning. Nice to have you here. Nice to be here. Don't look this way because it's distracting. So beautiful.
Is that why you put us over here?
Yeah.
John.
We don't want you distracted.
John, if I should have done it, I should be on that side.
Then he'd be turned around the whole time.
Well, we know that he's distracted.
Thank you for coming to this lovely place. Thank you to San Juan County for hosting us. This is the policy meeting later. It is the third trimester of fiscal year 16. This is the last funding meeting of fiscal year 16. On the bright green sheet in your red packet, there are meeting dates. And as you know from various emails, some of them are tentative. I respectfully request, and you probably would too, that the meeting in August be changed to the 18th. If that's okay, that will take a vote of the board to move it, I believe, or concurrence from the board. But we do have the room reserved on the 18th or the 4th, but the 4th would really require a lot of cash outlay from the board. The Outdoor Retailers Association is also in session that same week, and all the hotel rooms will be between $200 and $500. They can get that good for you, though. September 8th is also a change. Keep that in mind. The board did authorize that change. September 1st, and that week of September 1st, is the UNITA Space and Energy Summit. And so that will be in Vernal, and we moved the CID meeting to September 8th. October 6th will be the funding meeting for this first trimester. That is just brilliant green sheet.
Candace, will you see if everybody can hear us?
Can you hear me?
No.
Good. We were informed that the people in the back can probably hear better than the front row people
with the mic
because of the way it...
Start over.
Good morning. Welcome.
Okay. Thank you. That's good. I didn't say much of anything except for the change of the meeting date. You don't need to worry about that. We do have a new financial review sheet in your red packet. It did make some changes to a couple of the applications, as you can see. And the last fund is the balance, the mineral lease balance, and the bonus fund balance are a little bit different than what was in your packet. That will be discussed later. It will be your stewardship that makes sure that what we do today does not sweep that in the red. You can place projects on the pending list, or there are other alternatives at the board's discretion. So at the end of this meeting, realize that if we funded everything as requested, that would be the fund balance with the revenues that have been received so far. Also in the packet in blue are the new applications for fiscal year 2017. There are 33 applications. We've divided them up into months. That, of course, is subject to change if an applicant cannot make the meeting date they've been scheduled for. But basically, that's what it is. The rationale behind how it's divided up, it defers to DEQ to do the water and sewer review, so those will be the third meeting. It defers to planning and road projects to allow review by UDOT and planning reviews. There's a second meeting. And the first meeting are generally those that are really quite ready. We have Shad reviewing those applications. I tentatively give a list, and he looks to see that you're ready and that all of the parts and pieces of an application are there, and he will provide feedback, and that's how you get to be in the first meeting. Remember, it doesn't really have any bearing on whether or not an application is funded. It just is a review schedule because they are placed on the priority list and they are only funded in October, unless it's a real emergency. So that's the blue sheet. The green sheet is the rural planning programs, things that we have tasked them to do with the previous funding that the board has authorized in 5-year increments. This is what they're tasked to do. If you'd like them to have additional tasks, that's fine. At this meeting, the board, they're on board discussion. They are for reauthorization for another 5-year term for the same amount. It's renewed annually by contract with the AOG. The 5 AOGs, 5 of them where we have a regional planner place, receive $100,000 per year, and that is to allow that person to support the board and support the AOG with projects and things that they might be tasked with. It's 5 County Bear River, 6 Southeastern Utah AOG, 6 County, and Uinta County receive the full amount. Wasatch Front Regional Council and Mountain Land received $2,000. That is to compile the capital improvements list for the board for good projects that might come forward to the board. Not all counties are included. The Wasatch Front does not receive funding from this board because they have adequate property tax. So that's how the regional planning program operates. And it's the board's 5-year renewal this year. Also, in your board packet, you received the memo from Gail, which includes all of the reports from those regional planners. And you'll be hearing from them later in this policy meeting. Another item that is in, I'll get to that. The projects that we're looking at today are Carbon County Municipal Building Authority, and there's one item in your packet. It's the amortization schedule. It's the board, when they approve this project, they are also approving this payment repayment schedule. If you recall, this project is the 7th District Court building. They've received funding from Zions Bank. Zions Bank and CIB will co-fund this large project. What they've asked from CIB is to defer and make no payments for the first 5 years, but interest will accrue. Then the second 5 years, so we're into 10 years, the second 5 years will be an interest-only payment. And then when they start paying on the principal, it will be 4 years of a $5,000 principal and interest. And then the subsequent years, they will make the annual payments interest plus principal. The reason for this is because their repayment, their revenue source is from the courts, from the state of Utah, I believe, and that maintains their annual payment to stay within the parameters of that funding. So this is what you're approving, and that's why that's in there. Also in there is a revised... Yes,
question, please. So we're not call any balloon payments, so I defer 5 years, another 5 years of $5,000, there will be no balloon payment?
There's no balloon payment, it just gets larger and larger.
Okay.
through the process. So in the end, the board is has full recapture of their funding. It takes a little longer for them to receive the repayment. Any other questions about that? There's also a handout in here. It's from 6-10 Infrastructure Coalition, the book split project that it is in for special consideration. When the board package was printed and mailed out, it showed that they were requesting 100% grant from CID. They have altered that. They are now requesting the normal 50-50 cash match for planning. They're requesting a 500K grant from CID, with the other coming from another source. Also with that is a review which the board has tasked the rural planning group to provide reviews of all planning, and that is in there as well in yellow. So these two are in there concerning the 6-10 Infrastructure Coalition application for special consideration.
Ken, let me just one slight correction to that. My understanding of the 6-County Infrastructure Coalition project is $1 million plus the $500,000 match. I believe it's, but they can talk to that when they get to that's what I thought was being approved to update 6-County. I thought.
I do believe I have emails that indicate that it was a 500 and 500.
When they come up, I guess they can see that. That's what I would understand.
So we go with from Carbon, Tabiona, Claiming Gorge is still the same, Northwestern Service District number 7, I'm just looking through the agenda. The Uinta County Stormwater does have some handouts that we'll get to later concerning that project. East Carbon has resubmitted, and it's in your packet. They have altered their request to CID. They will speak to that. It is in your packet. The Central County Water Conservancy District, the requirement that the board made for them was to provide their public hearing minutes, which they did, and they are in the board package. The Kane County Water Conservancy District supplemental request for funding is also in your board packet. And we spoke about the board member discussion, which will be the regional planning program, reauthorization. The town of Hideout has pulled their application, so that will not be discussed at this meeting. They withdrew it. They will probably come back at a later time. Originally, when they applied for that funding, they had a plot of land, but they had no access to it. There were no, and UDOT would not give them easements. They've tried to find land subsequently. They're still a ways away, so they've withdrawn the application and will look for that at a later date, but it won't be discussed today. Any questions?
Thank you, Candace. Much appreciated. Well, we'll begin our formal funding meeting then. Good morning. Welcome. As we begin, I'd like to express gratitude to Commissioner Bruce Adams, Kelly Pearson, and the rest of the fine folks in San Juan County and Monticello. They are hosting this, and it's a wonderful facility. Bruce was most gracious last night and had several close friends over for a meal. There must have been 50 people there, and plenty of room. Very, very nice event with wonderful food. And Bruce, thank you very much. It was exceptional. We very much appreciate that. We have an item of utmost importance that we need to deal with first and foremost. And that is that Claudia Jarrett will be leaving the board. This is her last meeting. I just want to take Chairman's prerogative and say a few things about Commissioner Jarrett. Every person that comes onto this board, every board member brings some value, and they are appreciated. But some seem to bring a little bit more than others. And I think Claudia falls into the category of bringing more than others. And I for one, and I think I speak for all of us when I say that she is very much appreciated for the efforts that she put in. I don't know that we've ever had a board member that put more effort into preparing and participating and trying to really make a difference and maintain the integrity of the fund and the objective of this program. She will greatly be missed, and she is most appreciated. And so I could blather on. Well, I just got louder. I could blather on and on, but I won't. We do have a nice memento, a gift for her, so that she can always remember her service to the people of the state of Utah through the Community Impact Board. And I'd like to present that to her. We're hoping you take an hour or so. We're hoping for a tutorial on how to be a good board member.
Let me just say that after last night's dinner at Ruth Adams, I went home back to the motel last night and decided that I needed to pan a coin just to counter a little bit of what happened at the Adams home. So this is what I wrote last night. What a rush. What a high to be appointed as a PCIFB ally and to serve with not one bad guy for 8 years wishing I could reapply. However, as I now fondly recall, Gordon Walker might have made me ball, but in the end, fondly made me his poster doll, for which I soon learned would be my greatest wherewithal. You all soon learned that the minutes are my pet peeve, and so to you, Christine, I have greatest respect you can believe. I suggest that Nagi Sanadi be your next minute guru from my reprieve, as he has already shown it is ultimate ambition and desire to achieve. I will most assuredly miss the Adams family history, as they were always a hit when a certain county was making their inquiries. And, of course, just where a certain McKee stood on an issue was never a mystery. Our discussions fully vetted, never dull, but I must admit, sometimes blistery. Working with Candace and Gail, what a treat, who always made sure my obligations I did meet. Then there is DWQ and DZW with Mad Guy to tweet. From the RVPs to the DOTs, info was always complete. All the mayors and councils and SSDs, engineers and architects always questioning their fees, seems we always were able to come to a consensus with ease. And for most that ventured to submit a request, we did please. Whether it was a loan with interest or just a grant, this board's decisions helped so many to supplant the limited resources and funds that were always scant, bringing untold community pride and joy that can't be recounted. Of all the projects we heard, and there have been plenty, planning for this and planning for that, does anyone know just how many? I must admit that roads and their maintenance was becoming very trendy, but of this you can be sure, there were many of these projects costing a pretty penny. Thinking back over the years, it's hard to imagine all the EMS, fire stations, fire trucks, now in fashion, swimming pools, sewers, water lines, arenas, just a few to mention, conference centers, rec centers, city halls, and not one single mention. Now who would have thought, and to my surprise, that an environmental picket line would arise, or that GRMA grandma requests to throw lead appear like swatting flies, but through it all, Senator Okerlund prevented our demise. I have witnessed this board's greatest concern and compassion for those applicants whose needs were expressed with great passion, and the knowledge and foresight and professional insight to examine, and in the long run to make their most important projects. Of course, there is so much more that I could have said about my fondness for each of you and your friendship, but instead, I will leave you with my deepest thanks for helping me to move ahead in my professional as well as personal life hoping not a tear I will shed as I say goodbye. Thank you.
I don't believe for 1 minute you wrote that last night.
I did. I feel great this morning.
If I started now, I wouldn't have it done in 10 years. That was amazing. Thank you. When I am of business before we really begin, we'd like to excuse Treasurer David Damshin. He had a family medical issue that came up day before yesterday, which precludes him from being here with us, so he sends his regards and regrets that he can't be here. He was very much looking forward to Monticello. We won't tell him what he's really missing. The next item, let's do some introductions. I tend to forget that. We'll do the front row, and then we'll work around from Mr. McKee. So, Beth, we'll start with you and end with Gail.
Hi, Nathan Hall with the
Good morning, Mike McKee, UNA County.
Greg Galecki, Water Quality.
Ron Winterton, Duquesne County Commission, representing the AOG.
Najee, representing the UDOG Commission.
Chris Reed, Administrative Assistant for Housing and Community Development. Candace Powers, Housing and Community Development, Permanent Community Impact Fund Manager.
Good morning, Keith Eaton, Division of Housing and Community Development.
Commissioner Claudia Jarrett, representing 6th County AOG.
Bruce Adams, San Juan County Commissioner, representing Southeastern Utah AOG. And before I give it to Jim, I'm just going to say one thing. This facility was built with PIB money. This is a combination community center, which you are in right now. A senior center is across the hall where the seniors will be here today at noon to have lunch. On the very end, we have a small golf shop. Underneath the facility, they store all the golf carts. So this was a combined effort of three entities. The city and the county joined together, and these three entities built this facility. This mural up on the wall here is of Monument Valley, the southern part of the county. These two big monuments that have a thumb on them are called the Mittens. The mural in the back is Rainbow Bridge, almost. The only way you can get to it is by boat on Lake Powell. And so, if you get creative and decide you want to do something and put together a package, you can end up with something really nice like this.
Wow.
And Randall Bridge is Duquesne County too, so Jim Madsen, Kane County Commission, representing the 5 County Association of Governments.
Jay Potter, Carbon County Commission, representing Carbon County.
Steve Farrell, representing the Board of Water Resources.
Johnson Hardy, Housing and Community Development.
Wade Fairway, Attorney General's Office, representing the Board.
Gail Gardner, Housing and Community Development Commission.
Thank you, everyone. The rest of you may or may not get introduced if we have any questions about your project. Next item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes from May 5th, 2016. The chair will entertain a motion to approve or any discussion.
We will all defer to Congress.
Well, that last time, huh?
I do have one addition. On 214, fourth paragraph, just for clarification, I would add the word new
after the word the, so it's the new building will be leased to the 7th District Court. It was unclear what was being referred to there. And with that, I will move approval of the minutes.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a second by Mr. Donati. Way to prepare for next time. I appreciate that.
No problem with you.
Any further questions or discussion? Seeing none, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Claudia. I'm trying not to shed a tear myself. Historically, at the funding meetings, we've lumped a number of projects together for the sake of expediency. We're not going to do as much of that today. I think we'll consider the first project. Then my intent is to do 2 through 5, and then just do the rest individually, if that's okay with the board. If you'd like to spend any time on a particular project, there will be an opportunity for discussion. For those in the audience, generally we do not call you forward in a funding meeting to talk about your project unless there are specific questions which we need you to answer. If that's the case, we'll call you forward and you can answer the questions, et cetera, et cetera. So, first project is Carbon County Municipal Building Authority, which will house the 7th District and Juvenile Courts Complex. It's a $6,900,000 loan, 25 years at 2.5%. As Candace pointed out, there is a handout which shows the amortization. Just want everyone to be aware that Carbon County made some extraordinary effort to work with Zions Bank Public Finance to secure private financing on this, as well as the public financing that we're representing. But in order to make that work for the private sector, there's a significant deferral on this, more than what is usually done on a deferral. It's not uncommon for us to do a one-year deferral, but this is several years. So I wanted to make sure that everyone was aware of the terms. Again, I want to commend Carbon County for thinking outside of the box and finding a solution that I feel is a win-win situation, in that while the payments are being deferred, the board is, this is 100% loan and it is at 2.5% interest, so I find that to be very beneficial for this board and hopefully for the county as well on this project. So. Having said that, the other thing I wanted to mention that I failed to mention is that if you're looking at your funding sheet, as Candace pointed out, we have a just over a $6 million deficit in our mineral lease balance. And if you look at the bonus fund, we have a $2 million surplus, which still leaves us with a $4 million deficit if we approved all the projects as presented. So somewhere between the first project and the last project, we need to come up with $4 million and move another $2 million from mineral lease, which can be a grant or loan, into the bonus fund, which is loan with interest. So having said that, not to just burst any shadows on the Carbon County project, I commend them for the funding, and it is at 100% loan. Is there a motion to accept the Carbon County project as presented?
I so move.
Thank you, Commissioner Matheson. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Mr. Farrell. Any discussion or questions?
If the board permits me, I'll go hunting for the gold that Bruce Adams called us last night, and I'll bring you the $4 million.
If anyone would like to bring $4 million to the table, we'll take it.
Gold or oil?
Either one works just fine.
You know, Mr. Chairman, in light of where we are with that $4 million, if it would be appropriate, I would make a motion that we move that $4 million from our infrastructure fund into these regular funds, which would cover today's projects.
Second.
Okay, we have a side motion. correct me if we're not handling this according to Robert's Rules of Order, Mr. Chardin, but we have a motion to move the $4 million from our infrastructure set aside into, is that the mineral lease balance? That was a motion. And that was made by Commissioner Potter and seconded by Commissioner Adams. Any questions on that motion?
Yeah, so that's just a it's making it available, or we'll discuss that later, or it's no longer open for discussion that everything's funded.
My motion would be to move that over so that the funding would be available.
So it's just available. We're not categorically saying everything's funded.
No, I don't think that my motion would take away from any discussion on the funding projects, but feeling that if we decide that everything needs to be funded at this point, then we can do that. Because of the board, we could always move that back into those excess, not excess funds, but those set aside.
Sure. Yeah, so part of discussion isn't that we have to cut it, it's just that it's available.
Right.
So, Mr. Chairman, I think we should just approve the first motion. That is not subject to that $4 million.
It is not.
No. So we should move that one first and then discuss it as appropriately together.
So, just because you want to vote on the first motion, then we can vote on the second.
That's right. So that they're not related to each other.
Does everyone agree to that? So returning to the first motion by Commissioner Mattson and seconded by Mr. Farrell to approve Carbon County as presented. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. The second motion by Commissioner Potter, seconded by Commissioner Adams, was to move $4 million from our infrastructure set aside fund back to the mineral lease balance. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
What will the balance be at the set aside fund? $4 million moving out.
It's 11 million.
$11,222.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Yep. Yeah. Good question. Next project.
Just another question.
Yes.
Is this also required that we look at the more interlunch funds that we look at? Yes. As we review the project more than how we fund it.
So there might be another motion yet, possibly, right?
Yes. Yeah. We still have a $2 million deficit.
Would this be a good time to do that, just so we have that as well? So
I think we need to look at each project to see which one.
Project
we
want to look at. Thank you. Town of Taviona, $5,003,067,193 total request, $2,684,000, 20 years at 2.5%, and $2,683,193 grant. Any questions on that project?
You know, I do have one, and it just kind of stuck with me from their last meeting, in that they indicated that part of the funding was to set up a special service district. Is that correct, or Municipal Building Authority?
No.
Should we invite them forward, or?
We could, sure.
If the town of Taviana would come forward,
the town would set up an MBA to run the district. They don't have it right now.
But they requested funding to fund the set up at Municipal Building Authority? I thought that was about the exposure of the part of the original question.
I don't remember that. So we could ask them.
Are they the town of Taviana?
Yeah.
If you could come forward, please. Introduce yourself for the record.
Mayor Turner, I don't know. I don't believe that we did ask for funding for that.
I think my question was, what included in the legal commission behind it? And the answer was, we needed to set up a municipal building authority. Question whether that was what we normally fund. So that was my just wanted clarification for.
So for the record, it does not include any funding to set up a municipal building authority.
But we were going to take care of that on our own.
Well, you are now.
For my audience, this kind of a long, it's a building authority long, so I think they get confused. They will have to set up a building authority to issue the bond. And that's not the project in order to make it.
Well, that's our clarification, is this board wasn't funding
that legal setup there in the state.
And that's merely filing articles of incorporation in the state.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Prater. Thank you, Mayor. Further questions on the Tabby Owner and Community Center project?
And motion to approve.
We have a motion from Mr. Galecki. Is there a second?
Second.
Cool. We'll give that to Commissioner McKee. I saw his hand first. The lips may be slow, but the hand is fast. Any further questions or discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Project number three on your agenda, Town of Joseph Road Improvement, $475,000 total request, $169,000, 10 years and 2.5% loan, and $306,000 grant. Any questions on that project? Project number four, Grant County Transportation Special Service District, LaSalle Mountain Loop Phase 1, $267,400 grant. Any questions on that project? Project number five, Fillmore City Storm Drainage Project, $872,500 total request, $348,000, 15 years and 2.5% loan, and a $524,500 grant. Any questions on that project? The chairman will accept a motion.
Motion to approve.
Wow, Bruce, you are fast. We have a motion by Commissioner Adams and a second by Commissioner Winterton. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Project number six, Plainy Gorge Transportation Special Service District Road Improvements to Browns Park Road Phase 3. It's a $2,080,000 total request, $1,700,000, 5 years, 0%, and a $380,000 grant. Any questions? Motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Thank you.
Is this one we need to look at relative to? I know that you have a huge argument about not taking a 2% interest, but again, we're looking to cover the $10 million that we're short, and there's only really two projects, and both of them I think are your county.
That's not Shane,
this is Daggett County.
Oh, Daggett.
Close. And this one, if I remember, they're going to pay it back as soon as UDOT's fund comes in.
Yes.
This is
so
it
can't have
funding.
They can't have the
well, they could, but if, by the time you get it set up, they may have the money back to you, so there's not much.
Well, at this point, we'd like to invite Daggett County to come forward. We can discuss that possibility. So please introduce yourself.
Brett Reynolds with Cisco Engineering, representing Daggett County. We're actually the Plainy Gorge Special Service District. Sorry about that.
So the question is the ability of the district to take this at interest bearing rather than 0%.
We have talked about that possibility, and the decision was made that that's what the board here recommended, that we would go for it. As you mentioned, chances are we're going to repay it before that ability gets into it.
Would we like to amend the motion?
So with that, let me amend, if I'm the maker of the motion, let me amend the motion to approve that, to make that interest bearing should we utilize that energy.
2.5%?
That'd be all right. That'd be beautiful,
okay. Yeah, okay. And Mr. Farrell, do you still second?
Yes.
So a motion by Commissioner McKee, a second by Mr. Farrell, to make this a $1,700,000 5 year 2.5% loan and $380,000 grant. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that. So now we only need to come up with $300,000 to move the bus on Friday. Thank you for being so quick on that. Project number seven, Northwestern Special Service District New Fire Truck at Gunlock. $67,496,000 grant. The chair will accept the motion.
So moved.
Thank you, Commissioner Winterton. Is there a second? Thank you, Mr. Zanotti, for the second. Any questions or discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Project number eight. Winter County Municipal Building Authority Flood Control Project. $10,906,251 total request with a $2,727,000 30-year 0% loan and an $8,179,251 grant. We'd like to invite them forward at this time. As you all know, there's been a lot of correspondence going back and forth on this project. Just to frame the issue a little bit, this is a Uinta County Municipal Building Authority project. The three county commissioners sit on that board, and one of those commissioners, Commissioner Stringer, has some concerns about this project. I trust you've all read his email concerns. We have the other county commissioners here to speak to this, so we'll turn some time to them to introduce themselves and address the project.
Thank you, everyone. Good morning. As I introduced myself earlier, I was listening when the instructions were given. I'm Commissioner Mark Raymond, Uinta County. I have with me Troy Oster, who is the senior engineer at Civco Engineering. And it has been surprising to us as a commission that there have been some disagreements on this issue. There's no hidden agenda. What we are trying to do is provide for the flood mitigation to the west side of Vernal City and Uinta County. And recognizing that this project is going to end up being rather expensive, we are including in our flood mitigation plan two canals, the Upper Canal and the Highline Canal, well, three canals, and the Rock Point Canal. These canals are currently in use. They provide for irrigation services to agricultural areas of the county. And in the event that we do have a significant flood situation, these canals will be breached. There is no doubt about that. And if they are in use at the time, the damage will be even worse to the west side of Vernal City and to residents on the west side of Uinta County. To ask them to not irrigate is not an option. We have a right to those canals that the county, there's no question about that. We've been using those for flood mitigation for years, but with the irrigation waters in those canals, that's what presents the problem. And so we have talked with the canal companies for some time about using the canals strictly for flood mitigation. They, on the other hand, on their own, have talked about putting the canals in pipelines. You're all well aware that canals are notoriously famous for a lot of leakage. They are not the most efficient way to convey water, but in the early days, it was the only way. They have wanted to put the canals in a pipeline for many years. So these two completely separate projects do share a common core, and that is if they can put their irrigation water in a pipeline, then we can use the canals strictly for flood mitigation. The big question that has come up from all of this is, what is the cost of that? It's a difficult thing to put a price tag on. If and Troy can speak to this a little better than myself, but to build a new canal parallel to the existing canal, it is just not efficient. It's not the best use of land. It would be extremely expensive to acquire the right-of-ways for an additional canal. Moving through different properties, whether they're private or SPITLA or BLM, extremely difficult and extremely expensive. To acquire from the canal companies the right to their right to put water in the canal, to ask them to remove that is where the big question is. And so we have asked them what it would cost to have them remove their water out of the canal, which they have a right to do. And so they have told us the cost that that would be. It's not something that you can go out and get an assessed value for. That's what they have in order to remove the water out of the canal. And so you can try and get assessments all day long. You can go out and hire experts. You can, go through whatever motions you want, but we cannot get the water out of the canal unless we meet their requested price. So that's where we're at. That's what we're asking to do, is to provide this flood mitigation for our constituency is by meeting their price. Troy can tell you, based on his engineering, what those costs would be. So I'll give him a few minutes to go over that, and then if you have questions, we'll be glad to answer them. I don't think that would be the
Yes, and with this, as we have looked at this, we've like planning and doing the update on it. We've looked at many different options and alternatives as to how to handle this. And according to the original flood master plan that was done in 2008, it specifically indicated in that we ought to be looking at converting irrigation canals to stormwater canals. And so that's one of the items that we looked at with this. In calculating the cost to do this work, as Commissioner Raymond indicated, we looked at what the cost was to complete piping to get the water out of the canals versus the cost to reconstruct new parallel canals to those who take stormwater to do this. We also looked at enlarging those existing canals and doing a liner in those to reduce the loss, because once we open those canals up larger, losing the same amount of water, our loss to the irrigators. We looked at all of those costs, and they ranged in value from about $9.4 million to $9.1 million for all three of the alternatives. They were all right in that same general area. And so based upon that, the recommendation that came out of this was to look seriously at obtaining the existing canals, because it wouldn't impact any additional right-of-way or any other items that needed to be addressed. So with that, are there any questions you have on the engineering aspect?
Did we have, and maybe I missed it, but main projects like this, well, first question, sorry, if you have, can I ask?
Please.
Is it currently flood irrigation and then going to a fresh dry system?
Yes, currently much of the valley, all of the canals are supplying water for flood irrigation. Then, once it leaves the canal, some areas are under pressure irrigation. They take it at that point and go to pressure irrigation.
So I see it's like the smallest pipe is 18-inch, and so these are only mains that are going in?
Yes, but what is happening with this project is it is actually combining. As far as the irrigation part of this, what the irrigation plans are is to combine the water in the high line and the upper canal in a large pipe, and then take off these smaller pipes, 24 inch down to 18, to take and serve the irrigators that would come out of the high line canal and have all of the water in a main large pipeline in the right of way.
And typically on a lot of projects, and maybe it was in there last month, but I forgot about it, you have an itemized list of the engineering and total cost of the project. Was that provided?
Yes, it was.
And then, so the primary cost is of the $15 million is is purchasing the right-of-way or purchasing the project, the price in where is the majority of the cost coming from?
The majority of the cost is in acquiring the right canals for stormwater. What the project is we're acquiring the right, and in acquiring that right, the canal company will put the water in the pipeline. Then, in addition to that, as part of this project, we are proposing to build detention basins also in the area, along with piping associated with road crossings to get removed this water. Majority of the cost is in the acquiring of the rights to put stormwater in the canals.
But you're paying, I guess where I'm struggling is you're paying the water companies, but they're not losing anything. They're actually upgrading their system.
Yeah, what's happening, and I'll do my very best to explain this, is they own the right to run water in the canals. And if we have a flood situation and those canals are full of water, serious issues there.
No, I understand, but you're improving the system. They're still using that same right-of-way. It's just that they're putting it into a pipe to close.
That's correct. And so the canals will be virtually empty. There is enough right-of-way on one side or the other to put the pipelines in the banks of the canals. So the canals will still be open and available, but the maintenance of those canals will then be turned over to the county, and we will maintain those canals and keep them open for the use of flood waters. And their water will no longer be in the canal, it'll be in a pipeline.
So what happens if we don't purchase the canals or the right-of-ways to the canals? Do they just... So what we're doing is by us putting in almost $11 million, they're burying their pipelines below the canal instead of just placing them in the canal?
It'll actually be in the... Well, here's the engineering.
Yes, what will happen with that, the pipelines will be buried either under the banks of the canals or in the bottom of the canals, depending upon the terrain where the entire canal is now available for stormwater.
And if we don't, if the CIB board doesn't fund $11 million, where are they going to put the piping?
They won't. This provides the financing so they can do their project. We're doing it to get the canals empty. With this funding, then they can move forward with their project to put it in the either underneath the canal or in the banks.
So we are paying for the pressurized irrigation system.
Yeah, you can share. I mean, that's what it is. But if we don't, then they don't do their project, and the status quo remains the same. So we still have the potential for serious flooding.
Commissioner Jarrett?
Commissioner Raymond, my confusion with this is in your application, you said that you had almost $5 million from the RCS and $2 million from the canal company, which I thought was to put their water into pipes. And that one of the points made by your other commissioner was, so if they're already dewatering the canals, why are we paying all this money for canals that are already going to be abandoned, of which one? Highland, I think, is
the Rock Point
would be abandoned, and so I guess that's what I want the explanation, because that, you know, that triggered a question for me of if MRCS, the canal company, is already doing that, paying for the pipeline, putting it out, then why does he get spent for abandoned canal?
The reason for that, Commissioner Jarrett, is that the overall project for these three canals is $15.5 million. They are bringing to the table $6.5 million of that. That doesn't cover the entire project. The purchasing of this ability from them is what pays for the balance of their project to be able to get the water out of the canals. They are bringing to the table about 40% of the cost. This application brings together the other 60% of the cost for them to be able to get the water out.
The other allegation was that certain funds were being promised to the canal company outright. Is that part of this proposal? I mean, you're using your money, I would think, directly, but the allegation was that certain canal companies were going to get like $900 that was promised money with no accountability for where it was being spent.
I can address that one. Mike, if you would like to. We have within the budget a flood control plan, and in order to assist the canal companies, we have set aside as part of our budget monies to help clean out these canals, because they're gradually filling in with debris and silt and with vegetation along the sides. And so each of the canal companies, we budgeted upwards of $50,000 to $80,000. I don't remember the exact amount, but absolutely none of it of that budget money was to go towards pipeline. It was to go towards maintenance of the canals. And some of that has actually already gone out, and some canal work has been done. But that's under an assumption that the canals will be continued to be used by the canal companies. Those budgeted monies will return back to the county if they have no need of them. If the pipelines go in, then they don't need that for canal maintenance.
So they'll know, they don't need it for maintenance anymore. It'll be for, well, it'll be for flood control. It won't be for the companies.
That's correct. Now, one thing I do want to make clear so there's no confusion is Rock Point has been able, theirs is a much smaller canal, and they have been able to move forward and get their pipeline in. Kudos to them. I give them credit. I don't know how they swung it, but the upper and pipeline canals are much, much longer, and they simply don't have the funding to put the pipeline in. So if we don't move forward with this flood mitigation project, they will not have the funding to put it towards the pipeline, and then the water will remain in the canal.
Mr. Farrell?
Let me put my irrigation company hat on. That's right, their irrigation. What you're doing is buying your flood control plan.
I'm sorry?
You're buying a flood control program.
Yes.
You're paying the irrigation company for the right to use their system.
That's absolutely correct.
And if they can, they own the right of way, and they own the right to put the water in. You don't have the right to put your foot water in there now, and you're buying that right.
That's technically correct, but we also have, we have used the poor flood control over the years.
Natural flood. Whatever natural flood came into it,
yeah,
you have to take it.
Yeah.
With all your development, now you're getting more water than naturally run into it.
Yes.
You're buying a new system. And it's probably cheaper to go this way than put your own flood plan in place.
Yes, you've got it.
So is there going to be another application coming in for laterals now, or is that going to be done by the company? Because this, these are primary lines.
No, at this point, that will be up to the canal company. All we're doing is getting the water out of the main canal.
They're not an eligible application.
And then the money coming, I mean, to get the stormwater into the ditches, into the canals, that's already in place, or there's going to be, is that part of the funding?
That's part of the project. That's the piping part of the project, so that we get the water from the detention basins into these canals, plus the natural flow into the canals.
With the number of questions that were brought up by Mr. Stillman or
Stringer.
Mr. Stringer, was there a public notice on this, and public, you know, information put out?
Yes,
that wasn't part of the application, was it?
Can I address that for just a moment? I had Heather just kind of go through and look at some of the meetings, and just kind of went back in the last year, but it didn't go into the number of meetings we had ahead of them. But it's showing, you know, the all three commissions signing in the board for different things. But these are some of the meetings. November 30th, joint meeting with the counties and the cities. January 25th, another meeting, small commission room. February 8th, flood control meeting, small conference room. February 25th, meeting with the engineering group. February 26th, flood meeting, scheduled by Bill Stringer. Joint city-county meeting, large conference room on April 18th. Meeting with Kurt Smear and the canal companies. May 2nd, we had a public meeting that we really were not required to have. It's when we updated our application. 3 or 4 days before our last meeting, we had another public meeting where we had this on our agenda, fully advertised. I think for a CIB application, you will not find many applications that have the amount of public meetings that we've had on this.
So those meetings were
ample notice was given to the public.
Ample notice, yeah.
For the agenda item.
May 2nd, some of these were not published on. There's several of these meetings that were, you know, the necessary people there, others were public meetings, so it just depended on which one was.
Neither the UNA County, when Colonel City has had public meetings concerning these flood issues, when they were asked to be a participant, they had public meetings. Nathan City had public meetings. There have been many public meetings concerning this flood plan. It's probably been one of the single most frustrating things for me as a commissioner is you feel like you're getting the word out and then you find out that you probably needed to do more, despite everything you've done. I'm sure all of the commissioners on your board would be able to tell examples of the same.
We're not unfamiliar with public controversy. Further questions from the board? Mr. Donati and then Commissioner King.
Well, I got ahead of myself. I'm just going to get through a few questions.
Okay.
Commissioner, have you seen the letter by way of email from Commissioner Stringer?
Yes.
There's a 13 number items there. Yeah, 13. Was he part of the discussion all the time, part of the planning?
Yes.
Was he?
And there are some items, frankly, we still need to decide. But being familiar with the CID process, there are some things that you don't do until you get the financing. And then you can get the engineering firms in place to answer some of the questions that he's asking. The permits, those are things that you get once you know the project can move forward. And so as we meet with DEQ for a flood mitigation permit, those will all need to be addressed before this project culminates. There are some that I feel like his perspective is subjective.
So you refer to item number 12, and that it is likely that state and federal permits would be required or may not be granted under this proposal. Are you feeling positive that you're going to be able to get it?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's one of the things that, you know, as you move forward with this project and they see that these canals have been in place for years and have already been used for irrigation purposes, we're actually minimizing the impact of the water that's been in those canals. We're going to be using them strictly for flood control. We're very confident that we can get the permits.
I'm going to borrow one statement from number 10.
Sure.
The Stillwater Master Plan cost of $4,418,000, about the 60 crossing throughout the county. The CRD application implies that the $10,341 has been extended. Any explanation on that?
Okay, we have with us today the director of our Transportation Special Service District. That's the total amount that was put towards those crossings. Now, those crossings included asphalt approaches, it included the abutments, it included guardrails, so the $10 million is the total project cost, but of that cost, not everything was directly over specifically for a flood. But when you build a crossing, you can't just do it part way. You have to give it 100%.
Mr. Chairman, one more question before I move on. Number 6 on this statement again says that Rockport has already abandoned his their canal.
That's correct. And they're preparing to cover it.
So what they have, are you still paying for it right away?
Yes.
Yes. Can I'll let you address that.
Thank you.
With this, yes, they have put part of theirs in what their plan is with their canal as they complete this is to fill that canal in. And our purpose of purchasing this right away is to keep that canal open for stormwater.
So they've been promised $817,000 to just keep that right away open for you?
To for us to be able to buy that open canal, yes.
And that money comes from the county budget or the borrowed money from CID?
That would come from the CID project money.
And what exactly does that get? Does that get the county or the municipal building authority a right-of-way, or does that give you ownership with them having the right-of-way? Who has what? Do we know?
Yeah.
Mr. McKee?
If I might on that one just for a minute. With the Rock Point Canal, it's a little bit different than the other two canals. It's a further advanced project. And so their Bureau of Reclamation funding is further along in the process. And what I'm being told with the with some of the people that own the land that canal comes through, once they put that in, if we do not obtain that right of way, they're going to fill that canal in.
So you will have the right of way.
We will have. It'll be a joint right of way because, as we mentioned, they still got to have a pipeline that will go through it. So they will have a right of way for a pipeline
for reasons.
But we will have a right of way for the flood control to be able to continue to utilize the flood control. And, you know, this is a little testy out there right now because we've got some people on the other side says, you know what, if you guys don't buy this, fine, we're filling it in. And then you just see how much it costs you to deal with this thing. You just see what it's going to cost you.
It's one of the factors of this project that have been extremely frustrating because they did it. I'm impressed. I appreciate the fact that they have got their pipeline or their canal pipe. But now they're seeing that we are acquiring a right-of-way from the other two pipeline companies, from the other two canal companies, and they're like, oh, wait a minute. We want some of the pie. And, you know, if we could get them all to be nice little neighbors, you know, but it doesn't work that way, and so they are demanding that we acquire a portion of that right-of-way as well to leave it open.
Commissioner, is it possible to lease these right-of-ways rather than purchasing them to save some money for the county and for the CIB? Because we have done projects in the past, my county, rather than buying the right-of-ways, because we were not sure if it's going to even help us with the solution that we're looking for, so we lease for 10 years, and then come back and say, you know what, didn't work, so deal is off. Is it possible to lease it rather than purchase it?
Can I take that if I can? I've had a lot of the conversations with the canal companies. One of the things that makes this project what it is the partnerships. And again, what makes this really work is the county, again, long has wanted to be able to, for many years, be able to deal with these floodwaters. What we haven't had in front of us in the past has been being able to partner with the funding, the Bureau of Rec funding, the fact that the Bureau of Rec funding, then they're willing to pony up some money to go with it. Just to lease this doesn't do that. And so I think, honestly, it's been said, the Rock Point project probably would continue forward. The others would not. And then if we don't, then we deal with like we do. We end up with a full canal. We end up with all these other issues. And the full project at the end of the day, the idea being that we build the catchment basins to have a flood control program that works for us. It is a good question. It is a good question, but to make the partnerships to where we have a complete program, I think we're either going to do it or we don't. That's the bottom line on it. And we've had a lot of discussions with canal companies. This isn't some, last minute thought. This has been going on for
many years.
For a long time.
Mr. Glick?
So is it possible to do it in phases, similar to lead on from Nagy's comments?
As far as phases, it can be built in phases, but I think what is important is to be able to is commitment moving forward, because it is going to make a difference on what happens on the project. If it's a commitment that we're moving forward with it, then that,
Well, then may I, if I might, with the partnerships that we have with NRCS, the $4 million that they have promised the canal companies for the pipeline project, the $2 million from the stockholders, they want to see full funding at this point. They want to be able to say, yes, this project is going to be completed and move forward. The timeline, that doesn't bother me a bit if we phase that, but they do want to see full funding come forward.
Sure.
Commissioner, is there a way to get, I mean, you talked about there's no way to know the value, but it seems to me that we're sort of at the mercy of the canal company as to what the value of the right-of-way is.
Yes.
And so that's complicating for me in that, is there no way to get a fair market value so that they just don't set a price, and is that a fair price? Or, I mean, all you're acquiring is an abandoned canal that may or may not be used. So maybe that they're asking an excessive amount of money. Maybe they recoup their $2 million that they're putting into it. So is there a way to really get a fair market appraisal for an abandoned canal and offer that to them? I guess is my question.
If you look at an assessment that's based on the fair market value of the land, that's not going to touch what they're looking at. What the canal companies are doing, and you're absolutely right, we're kind of at their mercy, that they're saying this is the cost for us to get our water out of the canal. This is what it's costing us to do that, to put it in a pipeline. And if we can't recoup that cost, then we can't afford the project. So that's their offer to us to acquire the canal for our flood mitigation. Is that the true value of the canal? Well, so that was when we asked Stifco Engineering, what would be the cost of acquiring another canal to parallel this one? Because they do kind of have us over a barrel. And so when Mr. Osler started looking at the cost of associated land, of acquiring right-of-ways through other private properties, /TITLA, /DLM lands, the cost associated with that, and then actually building a new canal, the cost came out very similar.
Sorry, just another question. So you talked about lining the canal. Had you looked at deepening this so you could, increasing the capacity so you have enough reward?
Yes. What we did with the analysis on this was we looked at increasing the capacity of these canals. Currently, they have a capacity of about 100 second cubic of water that they can take. We looked at increasing the capacity on the canals back to where they were originally when they were built back in the 40s, which was about 300 seconds. And in doing that, that's the price we use to analyze what it would cost to clean those canals to that point and to lay lines down. And as I said, the problem we have with that is the reason the canals have decreased in size at this point is much of the irrigation, once it's taken out of the canals, is pressurized and it reduced the volume of water needed to irrigate the field so that the canals have grown in to where we're just moving the amount of water that needs. If they were increased to that size, then the evaporation loss and seepage loss due to that increased size would be a detriment to the canal companies. And that is something that I'm going to say they have firmly been opposed to increasing them to be able to handle both waters.
What's the amount that you need for stormwater, the calculation for that?
With the stormwater, the calculation, what we've done with the canals is we haven't sized the canals based upon the flow rate. We've sized the canals based upon them being a detention basin. And so with that, all we need to do is increase the canals about 25% from what they currently are to be able to handle the water in a detention basin situation.
So if you're at 100,000 right now, you'd only have to increase it to 125. It's 25%. So it's not increasing it three times because you can handle 100 CFS, and then but originally it's 300 CFS.
Yeah.
So as far as increasing the size of it, what the CIB would have to pay is only 25% of that. I mean, increasing it to 125 CFS.
Well, that's increasing it to 125 CFS once the irrigation water is out of the canal. To handle both irrigation water and storm water, they would need to be sized at roughly 250 second feet of water to be able to handle both of those items. We're talking about only having to increase the canals about 25% to handle our storm water once the irrigation water is out of the canal.
Oh,
Mr. Prater, could you come forward and address how we determine bond value without an assessed value, et cetera, et cetera?
I have no idea. What I would like to address, though, is at least the board understands the bond structure that's involved here. This is an application to have a building authority bond. As we will discuss in our policy session, for those of you who haven't heard it before, the county doesn't have to repay this loan. With a municipal building authority bond, the county leases from the building authority on an annually renewable basis, and they can stop paying with no legal recourse at any point in time. At that point, our only recourse is to sell the project. I don't know who would buy this personal buy. So I think there's a risk factor.
Commissioner Raymond?
There is, but we recognize and totally appreciate the CID, and it would be extremely uncategorically foolish of us to not follow through with payments on that loan. I understand where he's coming from and the risk factor involved, but in my mind, there's no risk. We would not want to offend the CID board.
Mr. Zanotti?
Out of Ashley, Highline, and South Rough Points, which one is the most critical for your project? Should prioritize as a number one, number
and
two, number three?
The Highline.
Highline. So could we just put that as a phase one? Because in lieu of the information we received from the bonding experts that we don't have any recourse to pay back or collect on the money on the project.
We could, except the pipeline serves both. The way that they have their project set up, it will serve both, and so
they're
tied together.
Commissioner McKean?
Thank you. These two projects do tie together, but I guess the thing that I wanted to mention, I'll have Troy clarify this because this has been the understanding that I've had. There's been some discussion about the value of the canals. Troy, as I've understood this, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but the value that you gave on the canal, if we were to build, because we talked about value, but the value you gave was essentially if we were going just through the ground, acquiring the right-of-way, and building a canal, but it does not include infrastructure or any of those kind of things that we would have to go through if we were to do some kind of a different, in other words, if we had to build a parallel canal. Is that correct? Anyway, would you address that? Because all of a sudden that project, if we were to not use these canals and you had to, all those things come to value. As you know, we use state tax commission, sometimes you have three or four different types of value. You look at some different aspects, but go ahead.
Yes, as we look at this, and as I said earlier, with this, we look at what it would cost us to build a parallel canal, along with to the High Line and the Upper Canal, to be able to take the same water. To acquire right of way, not including if we had to buy homes or other things, this is just as long as it was log ground that we were able to acquire to build this canal.
Which it isn't,
Which it isn't. But that's what we use for this basis. And for us to rebuild or to build new canals instead of acquiring this ability to use the existing canals, that estimated cost came in at $9.491 million. $9.491 million.
The county didn't go through an appraisal to go look at what it was. Take to go through all the homes, the infrastructure, and all those kind of things to put on top of them. That would be as though those didn't exist. And you do not even begin to build this, I can't see any way without, the true cost of that would be astronomical in my opinion.
But like I say, we have to start somewhere in our initial evaluation, this determination as to what makes sense to
that's where we came up with this estimate. We talked about funding the project to acquire this right of way in all three canals. We're looking at $9.3 million a year. Is what's going to acquire that right of way. So building canals was a little more expensive than to acquire that existing right of way. And as I said, when we evaluated improving the canals, that was just a little bit cheaper. This came in at $9.1 million.
Mr. Manson?
I'd like a kind of an expression or an understanding as to the benefit side of this thing, you know, from a hydrological standpoint in the flood process. What does this buy you all there in terms of protecting your communities and investment?
What it does is by utilizing these canals in association with additional detention basins as part of this overall project, what it does is it takes this water that is coming off of, and if you've been to Vernal, you understand we've got all this clay hills that we have. We get very little absorption in those. So when we get a storm, all the water is coming off of the surrounding area. And what it is, by utilizing these canals in them, we directly, we are directly protecting about 300 homes. That's right directly below where these canals are, because during the last floods that these homes were impacted in the floods that we had in 2014 in the fall of that. We had these floods come down into this area. They overflowed these canals, and at that time we didn't have any irrigation water. But the storm water that we received there took and overflowed these canals and came down and impacted an area that has, like I say, approximately 300 homes. I think it's 292 in the county currently. That's right in this direct flood plain. So what these would do is it would take this water, it would store the water in the detention basin long enough for it into the canal so that the canals can move the water away and not impact these residences and the other infrastructure that we have in there. With the last floods, we lost power lines, we had gas lines be exposed due to the erosion and floods that we had. And that's what these would accomplish.
Having experienced a couple of 100-year storms here, back-to-back and so on, what would be the expression of the likelihood of having an event that would exceed what you were talking about here?
We could have one tomorrow. We could not have one for 100 years. I wish I could answer that question and say that I could make a lot of money if the fortune's there. But the answer to that is, historically, through the areas that these canals will help us protect, we see an event that comes down that will fill all of these facilities. I'm going to say historically, we've seen it about every 5 years, about every 5 to 7 years in these areas. In 2014, we had 3 in 2 weeks. So that's anybody's guess on what we're going to get for rain.
Commissioner Jarrett?
Knowing that UNA County chose to abandon their airport renovation in support of this project and the number one priority, and recognizing that before bonds are issued, you still have to have one more public meeting to notify the public of your intent bond, and hoping that that is a well-advertised, well-supported, well-attended public meeting, and feeling that, I think we've vetted out pretty well the questions that were raised by Mr. Stringer. I move approval.
Second.
We have a motion to approve as submitted with a second. Would you consider amending that motion to include our $300,000 so that the loan amount was up at an even $3 million?
Can we do that?
I'm going to tell you, out of my county right now, I'm just being really honest. I hate to have to go back, but it is very difficult. We lost over $1 billion in our valuation. the meetings we've had, this is what we said that we would do. I hate to go back and say that we've had to go more. If the board would please let us do this with what we have here, it would be greatly appreciated. We are in a difficult time now. We are starting to pull out of it, but it would be greatly appreciated if we could go with the application.
Jennifer?
I'm standing for
the current loan is 0%.
Yes. So we have to include
if you want to move it to, if you want to accommodate the 300 person to this loan as well.
There's no appetite for it now.
It wouldn't be
for the full amount of
the loan, Mark. It would just be for $200,000.
Okay, any further discussion? Would you please repeat the motion? Yes. Yeah. The motion is presented.
The cash presented. So the location.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Motion carries. Thank you very much.
Can I just add, I know we're done and we've talked it to death. This is not a popular project and it's one that's been talked about for years. When a person decides to take an issue by the horns and run with it, you kind of paint a target on your back. And I have done that and I'm willing to accept that. It may end up being called Raymond's Folly. Be that as it may, I support this project 100%, and I also thank the CIB for everything that you guys have done for UNA County. Thank you.
I failed to recognize earlier, and I had seen him standing there in the back door. Representative Noel, it's good to have you with us. Also, Senator Okerlund, I think he's hiding in the other back corner. I don't know what it is about our legislators, but we are always very happy to have you with us, and we appreciate all of the support that you give, not only the Community Impact Board, but all of rural Utah.
Thank you.
East Carbon Sunnyside was placed on the pending list, so we invite you, Mayor, to come forward at this time. Please introduce yourself for the record and tell us how you've addressed the concerns that were expressed last month. Okay?
The best part is Mary Sun City.
It's all the best news here.
Yeah, if you could use the microphone so that it shows up on the record.
We did do a little bit on revision to our last proposal. What we'd like to do now is look at an 80% grant, 20% loan, with 0% interest, and then no payment for 3 years. So any Sunnyside City have a loan. It would be paid off in 3 years, and then after that, we would start to see mid-payments to be approved on sidewalks.
Thank you. These are questions for 3 years for all of us. Any questions from the board? Commissioner Winterson?
I still have a problem with this. You revamp the numbers, but you want a 3-year deferral on payments. In here we read that, you know, the existing sidewalk is 30 years old and it's crumbling. And yet you want a 30-year loan on a new sidewalk, so you won't even have this sidewalk paid for before you're back to replace it again. So I have a real hard time stretching it out for 30 years. And we asked before, is this a project that can be phased? And you said, no, you don't know where to start and where to begin. To me, a sidewalk, I mean, we could start at one end of town and come back in phases, but...
Most of the sidewalk is built in the 40s and 50s. It's actually almost 70 years old. That's why it's crumbling. The it was dealt with different types of materials, different lower strength concrete. No, you did not have air retaining concrete in the 4 inches of thick. Now, you put a 4 to 6% air, and that helps sidewalks weather better. We expect a 50-year life on the sidewalk. You and your RV are kitchen, because I understand that. Basically, the sidewalk should go up from the 40 to 50. A little bit of maintenance done. None of the sidewalks have handicap ramps. None of the sidewalks need any kind of standards that I got a standard. What's left of them is really strange. I think they put little pictures in there. But we should last at least 50 years with the air retainment. Possibly longer. I've seen sidewalks that we built when I was a little boy that are still there. But again, I won't be in 50 years from now. But I know what the standards are for American Concrete Institute. And I can understand that these will be a picture probably longer, but again, I won't be here yet. I just know what the engineering standards are.
Mr. Nye?
Mayor, you've been advised last time that contact UDOT or CDGDG for this other funding. Did you contact them to see if there's opportunities there?
UDOT will not do the city sidewalks. They'll do curb and gutter and such on the highway. None of these sidewalks are
really
on the highway. Or they're not on their easement. The CDPG, you have a short window in order to apply for their grants or loans, and if I'm familiar with it, that time has passed. I think you have to have their grant in January.
And remind me, it's funny, going back to comments last time, being East Carbon, I would love to fund the project. And, you know, personally, I have a problem of $1 million in it. But remind me, you have three streets, and there's no priority in between. You got to do all three of them.
Right. Basically, we have everything from the canyon goes down towards the school. There's rows of homes that, you know, the sidewalks pretty much deteriorated everywhere.
As an example, I live in a small town that we only have two priority sidewalks, and that's for the kids to get to school. And I might be misphrasing, but I think we're a Title V, and they've got various funding for that. You know, how our city funded that. But, again, there's no, you don't see any priority. It's all three streets as far as
Commissioner Potter?
You know, as I sat down with Mayor Parsons and we evaluated this after the last presentation, we really did look at, you know, could this be broken up? The real problem that I see, and having been up there but also been talking with the mayor, is that these are streets that do feed into that elementary school area. And even though there's no assistance from UDOT because the highway's just a little bit down, these are kind of the major roads. So your points are well taken, but the cost of safety in the community and also the need there, that their ability to generate any other tax is very limited. And so as we talked about the 80-20 proposal with the 3-year deferral, it puts them in a position where they can pay this back without any implications. And so that's the reason I encourage them to bring that forward again. Still, a lot of those same questions are there as we talked last time. But for me, as a commissioner there, it was looking at what really is the safety issues as far as the community and the accessibility and the ADA. And I know I'm speaking in favor of that because it's there in the county, but it is a community that is really pressed to make sure that those basic needs of safety are met within the community.
Chair will entertain the motion. Mr. Jarrett?
I have a question. Since you wanted to deferral for 3 years, what would be the possibility of giving a loan at 2.5% and letting them pay some interest for those 3 years? And then at that point, maybe the economy's changed, maybe there's a greater ability to pay. It puts $192,000 out of the bonus. Could we know what that payment might be, just interest only for those 3 years of deferral, to see if that gets closer to interest only?
Any possibility of that, Mayor? Is your perspective on
this? This results in maybe a 1.5% interest.
Pre-programmed only accepts 2.5%. I hope everyone heard that. It only accepts 2.5%. So, Commissioner Jarrett, is there a motion in there while she does the math?
It is, to move it to the bonus at whatever interest rate would work, but 1.5, 2.5, we'll wait for the number. But I think that gets us out of the minerals fund purely with the bonus, but with the deferral principle for 3 years, I would hope that that would be something they could do.
It goes either 1.5 or
1.5. Jay, can you make that work? Is that
yeah, thank you.
Is there a second to the motion to approve 192,030 years at 1.5% with a 3-year deferral and balance? This is nice. Balance would be 764,640. So we have a motion from Commissioner Jarrett, a second from Ms. Cusinati. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Commissioner Winterton is opposed. Thank you very much, Mayor.
Thank you. Residents will appreciate these sidewalks.
This is 7,876 payments. That's flat.
So that's just over 100,000.
Yeah, the new calculator of Janice.
You
can do 1.5.
Central Iron County Water Conservancy District, we'd like to invite them forward as well. This project was placed on the pending list. This is a well exploration where Iron County is looking to move into Beaver County, I believe. Their aquifer is depleted. So. She'd like to address the concerns that the board had, primarily the fact that it's in Beaver County and that they seem to be opposed, since there's pending litigation, mediation, whatever that status is.
I'm Paul Monroe, General Manager for the Central Iron County Water District, and this is Chris Nielsen, the engineer with the engineering with me. The concerns that the board had were admitted, and we provided those, and hopefully that changes the practice. Thanks for allowing us to come back and look at that detail. Resolve that issue. Is also just the issue of permitting and that development taken care of with the BLM, and we're going to stop the green line with them, move forward, and deal with that as well, so that we start parsing the state to deal with that as well as more threats. So all those approvals are in time and in place. There are issues with you, Kevin, and that is for long-term project. This is just basically the study for the water resource to find out if it's available. The long-term project will be later on, and we are mediating with that. So mediation is going to be this next month. It's going to be a process. But the initial study, that's what this project is for, is to identify the resource and everything in fact can be built.
Questions from the board?
I'll make a motion to approve.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second with a question for Commissioner Barrett.
I know that this is just a study and you're going to be drilling these wells, but is there any possibility you could take this as a loan?
Well, they don't have enough resources.
Yeah, it is. So, can I answer the question?
Yeah, we could possibly go. We just appreciate anything you're willing to do. So, have some mercy.
Worth it with the legal that's added and bonding?
What do your retainers first be?
We just have to take it out.
Take it out of revenue or the general fund?
Yeah, or so on.
So, we had a motion. Would you like to substitute your motion or hold firm, Mr. Gotti?
So, 1% you can afford it.
Okay.
No? Shaking the head in the back. No. I'll stay with the application.
Mr. Galecki, are you sticking with second? Okay. Any further discussion? The motion is as requested, $150,000 grant. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you very much.
Thank you all.
Six County Infrastructure Coalition, special consideration, which means we require a motion to consider.
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Donati.
Second.
I've got seconds from Mr. Farrell. Although I don't heard that. We'd like to invite whoever is representing the Infrastructure Coalition in the venue, Mr. Oakley.
He probably doesn't need an introduction. I'm Dwayne Shepherd from the UN Transportation Special Services.
Brad Bogland, Executive Director of the Six County Infrastructure Coalition.
Eric Johnson, Legal Counsel for the Coalition.
Ryan Martin, Mr. Jones.
Well, first, let me thank you, Board, for hearing this on special consideration. We think it's extremely timely, and that's why we brought you this application on special consideration for special consideration. Recently, within the last few months, there was an economic study that was completed by Parsons Brinkerhoff on the extension of the Steep Ridge Road, which this board has been a partner in, Community Impact Board in that project. So we'll take it down through to I-70 from the point that it is at this time. That study was done, paid for by Uinta County, Duchesne County, and Grant County Transportation Service Districts. And it was about a $600,000 study, if I remember correctly. So our board, our Six County Infrastructure Coalition board, heard a report from the consultant that did that study a few months ago. And, I guess it was about 6 months ago. And that economic study showed that, and I think that's public now, I think you can take a look at that anytime you want, but what that study showed was that an extension of the current road would be somewhere in the neighborhood of 41 miles, depending on which route you take and what kind of problems you have going down through the area. And it would actually save a route of close to 300 miles from Bernal, going down Indian Canyon all the way around to Price and back down to that point on I-70. Or if you go through Ringsley, Colorado and come around through the east, that's about a 270-mile drive. And this extension would be about 47 miles. So the amount of time, money, wear and tear on highways is tremendous. And that economic study showed that it would probably make tourism, if this road was constructed, about $80 million over the next 20 years. And for the current energy sector, the way it is configured now, and using those routes or the other route, it would save about $120 million, or actually make that much money. So the economic study showed that it was extremely feasible. So the next step is that we need to get into an environmental study so that we can see if it is feasible to be able to find a route that we can get down without running into something that would be a roadblock, and be able to find the best route. We looked at a number of them out in there, and those who are doing the economic study looked at different routes. So this study would answer a lot of questions about where and how and what the obstacles are. So what we're bringing to the board is an application for $500,000 from the CIV in grant at this time, which will be matched by $500,000 from the coalition. And where the coalition will get that $500,000 is from UNA Special Service District. As you know, the coalition has no money generating source at this time. So UNA Special Service District has agreed to match our request for the CIV so that we can begin this study. Now, this will be phase one of this study, and what we anticipate is that we would go to the legislature and ask for additional funding to be able to complete this study. We think that there's statewide need and benefit for this right-of-way. And Senator Van Tassel, who represents that area at Senator Hinkins, have been involved in these discussions. And we just didn't get the request going fast enough before this last legislative session from a timing standpoint to be able to work on it. But they have both committed that they will go to their legislature with a request to do the next phase of this study. So we think that right now we have about a $600,000 investment from three of the counties in our coalition. And then we're also going to ask the legislature for probably somewhere in the neighborhood of $3.5 or $4 million to finish the study. So the CIV being a participant at the rate of $500,000 with the match right now that we're bringing to you, we think is very reasonable. Of course, we believe that this would be a tremendous boon to the energy industry, and that in turn ends up being good for our counties where we are creating mineral lease funds, and for the board, which we believe would be greatly benefited by additional mineral lease funds. So that's the project. I don't know if anybody else has anything to say at this point, so we'll go to the board for questions. Commissioner Garrett?
My big question, Chairman Coleman, is that I look at the map, and this is entirely in Grand County. And Grand County does not have these six counties in the Jefferson Coalition. So where are they in this whole process?
Great question. As I mentioned earlier, they were involved in the economic study. Grand County was one of the participants in the economic study. Because they're not a member of the coalition, we haven't approached Grand County, but they are aware of what we're doing. As you know, there are some political division there, and at this point, what we're saying is the coalition of the counties that are here are willing to take a look at this environmental study to see if there is a way to get through that county that will allow us to be able to do it in the best way, the most economical way, and in a way that will be beneficial to Grand County. And we hope that Grand County comes into the coalition at some point in time. They've been invited. They decided not to join the coalition. I think for political reasons. We hope that at some point they will see the value of coming into the coalition. We have had some discussions with counties in eastern Colorado. You're probably aware, most of the CID board members are aware, that we have had meetings with counties in eastern Colorado in northern Arizona, and discussions with southern Wyoming counties, and trying to look at ways that we can make projects work on a regional basis. So that when we're looking out there 20 years, and we see a potential corridor that might be lost, if we don't take action now, we can actually work together with these counties, and we have already established a relationship with those counties. We think that it's extremely advantageous for Grand County to join the coalition, and hope that they will at some point in time. The benefit of Grand County is tremendous from this role, shown by the economic study that was made. If you can connect Flaming Gorge up into Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and be able to connect them with this road that goes straight through and down to I-70 into Grand County, and the tourism potential is tremendous. And we believe that at some point in time we're going to see the benefits of what this does, not only for the energy sector and for safety and for just savings in cost of travel, but also for the energy sector and tourism. There are just a lot of good reasons to do this. So at this point, they're not part of the coalition. To answer your question, we hope that sometime they will.
Are they supportive of the EAS relative to this project? Where are they with that?
I'm not aware of
the economic piece, but are they, and is this all on public land or is it on private land?
It would be both. Some of it would be on private, some of it would be on public. We anticipate, as you look at different graphs down through there, it may change a little bit. A lot of it would be on public. That's why it's important that a government entity like the coalition works with those government entities to try to find those rights of way down through there. To answer your question, I'm not aware of an official position that Grand County has taken on this application.
Is this an improvement of an existing road? The right of way that's now?
Most of it.
We actually did drive two different alternative routes from there. It starts at the end of Ulan County on Sea Bridge, and then we took a drive down Hay Canyon and then came back East Canyon. And East Canyon seems to already have oil and gas production on that already. Hay Canyon looks like it would be quite, in my opinion, becoming an unsafe road if that was the case. So in the transportation district, we would like to proceed with an East Canyon corridor that way if it comes to that point.
Where is it? No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that it seems that because of the oil and gas production that's already in place on East Canyon, it makes more sense to go that way. It's already being used.
How does this affect the, where's the Bear's Ear monument relative to this?
Way far south.
Commissioner McGee, again, this is more of a comment, but what this is an EIS. This funding is for an EIS. And in an EIS, you don't actually say this is the route.
Right.
You look at the no action, you look at a preferred alternative. And so that's what this will be doing. And I'm sure I think what's been contemplated is looking at East and Hay Canyon, a no action. And so, even in relation to Grand County's other things, this is to look at the environmental work, and if this is to be built, what is the best route that has the best route with the least amount of environmental impact? And I'm sure Grand County will be part of that discussion involved as all this moves forward. So.
I've got a question for staff.
Charlie Gregg and then
Gregory. Oh, and this is more. I know in the past, as far as distribution of funds, we've had some discussions in the past as far as what is funded specifically and what is not, as far as how you're able to provide money, you know, as it comes in. Do you have any problems with an EIS or this type of study as far as...
Oh, no. Where's your question? Did you have a comment?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'm not sure how effective this microphone is, but I was just going to piggyback on one of the comments of the relationship with Grand County. We have our executive director has developed a very good relationship with the Chamber of Commerce of Grand County, and now he's moved into the director of our transportation district here, and that's helped us even to get to the point where we are now. And we believe with those relationships that we've already developed, we can piggyback on that also and continue with that, with that relationship. So that helps.
We still have a $100,000 deficit. We've got two projects, or yours and another one, to consider with that amount of funding. If we were to drop this to 400, would that be adequate to get this moving, or is that not an option?
Can I comment on that one just for a minute? When we initially were looking at this, I mean, this gets us kind of that first phase into the legislature. And we initially had contemplated $1.5 million for this, and so I had mentioned that at the beginning. I thought we were looking, but I think everybody's trying to do the very best we can, but to sign the contract here to get going, I would hope we don't have to tear it down any further.
I'd like to say, as we were looking at the scope of what we would be able to do with this $1 million, it's about as bare bones as we can do to get to this first phase of this study. We probably couldn't do it without this first $1 million to get into this first phase.
Thank you.
The initial $1 million in this chart, is this kind of a go, no go as far as follow-up steps to the balance of an EIS?
No, I think this just gets us into starting to look at potential rights of way. Maybe we have a consultant talk about scope just a little bit. I think that answers this question better than I
can. Yeah, you bet. So the primary focus of this effort is to get to what we call a plan of development, which is a document required by the BLM. It gives them enough information to make a decision, a final determination, whether it is going to be an EIS, whether it can be an EA. It involves some conceptual engineering work. We take a look at the environmental resources that we know are most critical out in those areas. We prioritize which resources will get the most attention early in the process, understanding that as the NEPA environmental process moves forward, that there will be more detailed analyses. But really the focus of this phase one is to get through a plan of development document that then gives the federal agency the ability to make the necessary decisions and then set the stage to move through the NEPA process.
How about a calendar or a time frame? Is this a 1 or 2 or 3 year process?
That's a good question. It will take on the order of 6 to 12 months to get through this
phase.
Yes.
Other questions? We have a motion from Commissioner Jarrett to approve as presented. Is there a second? I have a second from Commissioner Potter. Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
I'll abstain.
And an extension from Commissioner Hannah?
Yes, on the application.
Thank you.
I just do. We have a new law, and I don't have any personal financial interest. I believe that new law covers. So, may I vote for it? You want to be part of the federation?
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank
you. We've been training on this new law.
Commissioner Senator Oakland talks about the conflict of interest law.
Yeah. I'm just talking about nuts and bolts. That's what I'm saying.
We're all a little nutty. King County Water Conservancy District. Would you like to invite them at this time?
This
is for a supplemental correct.
Hey, Representative Noel needs no one. I'll tell you what.
Please introduce yourself.
I'm Mike Noel, Executive Director for the King County Water Conservancy District.
Oh, yeah, water system, not very loud.
Use the other one if you want to hear yourself.
I'll try that one.
I think the other one is better.
Yeah, it
is. It's better quality.
All right. This is our building. We're in a building right now. We've been there for almost 20 years. It's a rental building on top of the bank, and it's not handicapped accessible. We built the reservoir several years ago, so we have property there that we purchased, it's paid for, and we put all our plans together for the engineer. We went out to bid, and our bid came in substantially higher, way above the engineer's estimate. What's happening in, not necessarily in King County, but in our sister county next door, Washington County, is back growing a rate that's one of the fastest growing rates in the nation. And so we had 12 potential bidders. This is a commercial building. We don't have any. And we have one company there, National Builders, that actually came in to the opening, the site visit. We had 12 people come to look at bidding it, and we had 6 bids, and all the bids were substantially higher than the engineer's estimate. So we're asking for the same terms that we had before they were finishing. We've also come up with more money. It's a $6,500 grant that we just got another. We had to move a power line, and our gains charging us $29,000 to move that power line. So it's about $100,000 additional. So when we get done with this, we'll be about 50-50 if we get this funding today. Right now, the building we're in, we're paying about $900 a month in rent. And the original cost would take us up to 1,100. This would take us up to 1,700. But the difference is we'll have the building paid for, and it will be a building for ourselves and the community. I think King County, this building would be made available to others if they needed to use it for, they'll have a nice conference room area and offices for our staff. So appreciate your support.
Thank you.
I'm supportive of the project. I just have a question that kind of goes to what Claudia has been trying to do today, and that's just to make sure at the end of the day that we cover our funds. Are we a little bit short?
We're $100,000.
And if we're short, what I'm wondering is, could we have another, if we approve this, Mike, I would like to approve this. So what I would hope that we would do is that we could pull another $100,000 out of the set aside that would fund all of the projects, and I don't think this looks fair. This last project is because he's last. No.
If you amend that motion, say it as necessary.
Okay.
It may, it's not a large sum.
Frankly, if we're ready, I would move to approve it, but include in the motion, move funding some
if that's right,
if necessary.
Second motion. We have a motion from Commissioner McKee, a second from Mr. Zanotti. Any further discussion?
Yeah, I have some questions.
Mr. Galecki, please.
So, construction started and everything, and then you kept on the same plan without just hoping you'll get additional funding, right? Funding.
Well, what happened was, right now construction is contractors are very, very difficult to get, and we feel like we had a really good bid on this, and we went ahead and did that.
So it overcharges primarily. That is why the cost went up. It's just they were overages, or they were cost increases during construction of the project.
No, the only thing we've done on construction so far is the site work. One thing that came out of that was there was some subsurface rock, and so we had a connection in there, and we thought we could do blasting on it. But when we went to our dam structure engineers, he said he didn't want us to do blasting because it was closed. That meant we had to do a lot more rock. I think it's taken about twice as long. That added significant cost to it. The other thing was we pulled back the $65,000 for the basement, not finish that off, but when we went back in and analyzed that, if we wait to remobilize and come back and do that, the cost would almost double as opposed to getting a demo and people are on site right there. So we left that in to finish off the basement too.
Yeah, I guess we're...
And we pulled back also $100,000 on our warehouse building too. So we really tightened our belts on this and tried to make it work for us.
Yeah, I guess that's one of my questions were, is that when it was starting to go over cost, did you try to size down the building, you know, save costs wherever you could?
We've done it, you know, we've done well, we can. One thing we have done this year is we had some higher loans. One of the loans was a drinking water loan that was 5.5%, several other higher loans. We went out in the open market and refinanced all of our loans at a much lower cost on the open market than we got from the state of Utah by about 2 percentage points. So we did that. We've economized. Like I said, we've been in this little square cubby hole for almost 20 years, so we're a pretty low-cost operation, not a lot of overhead expenses. We like to kind of pay as we go, but this is something that I've been there 20 years, and all the buildings are going to find out and get out. This is one of the projects I want to leave them with, is it's a good building and good facility to move forward. In the last 20 years, we put in $167 million worth of infrastructure in King County. We've added 3,000 connections, and we've increased the tax base in that county probably by several hundred million dollars because of the new facilities that are there. So I think we've done a good job in trying to build that community, and it's just we just hit an upswing in the economy, so which is great. We're not seeing as much growth in Kane County as we're seeing in Washington County, but that's because there's no jobs in Kane County. We've got a lot of new people moving in, no kids and 10 dogs each.
Any other questions? Call the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any objections?
Thank you,
Representative.
Appreciate it.
Always good to see you. Well, I got one last item, Bruce.
You can do it after the break, Bruce.
I could.
Then there'll be another break after that.
Then they have to have another break. The regional planning program is up for renewal. What's the amount on that?
504.
Well, who did you ask before? That's between Wasatch and downtown last year, if you haven't got it. Would you like to have a detailed discussion about that, or can we get a motion?
Yeah, it's just built into a budget that we just
yeah.
Been on a solid
yeah.
Building.
Yeah.
I'd like to see approval, of course, but maybe an explanation of what they're going to do. And okay.
The work plan was
a great change.
No, it was the beginning of this meeting. She talked about the pale green. Yeah, the blue green.
I'm with Bruce though. The length of discussion depends on this break. If we do it before the break, then we
should. Well, that's why I'm hoping we can do it before, because that speeds up the discussion.
I just have a point of concern in that it's listed as board member discussion and not approval. So I'm going to the attorney. Can we actually approve this today? By how the agenda is listed? No. Well, kind of. If we're taking a vote, it isn't on here. It's under discussion.
That was a question I had back and forth because I needed to know if I needed to amend this. There was a consensus that I don't,
okay.
And that you could make the
motion.
The motion is
okay.
Because it's what? It's an ongoing.
Our funding varies. I mean, someone comes in and asks for $1 million. We may give them $1. We may give them $2 million. So I think the fact that it's identified was.
I amend my motion to move that agenda item to approval rather than discussion.
Second. Yes, we have a motion and a second.
Sorry, I just have one question. Is this the rural plan?
This is the regional plan.
The regional planners. Okay.
The AOD planners.
Okay, that's what I want to hear. Thank you. Yeah.
So that is the break for Bruce Adams.
Well, who makes it? No, the attorney.
Any other concerns or discussion about the regional planner?
It's a needed and good program.
Yes, it is.
So
The motion was Mr. Zanotti, and the second was Mr. Keith.
Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
That's five. This is 5 years. We recontract every year with them, so.
It's very procedural. Because basically the legislature told us that we would bump the schedule.
Yeah.
It's kind of just complying with statute. All right, we have a motion for a break. Thank you all for being here. I noticed we had several councilmen out. Stevens was here. Commissioner Benally was here. Looks like they've left. But we appreciate all of you for making the time and effort to come down. And hope you enjoy the beautiful weather we're having.
Thank you.